I have an announcement to make.
We're having company. Did you know that? We're having company. We're having company. We're having company. It's Christmas. We're having company. I'm excited, aren't you? No, you're not. Because, you know, two emotions happen when you're having company. When you're a kid, you're all excited. We're having company. When you're the mom, we're having company. We have some things to do. We have some things to get ready. We've got some things to prepare. We pull out the towels we're not allowed to use at any time other than the year. And if you live in the house, guy, don't you ever use those towels or you're going to get hurt. I'll tell you that right now. There's a lot of prep that has to take place. You're all excited. And then when they're all gone, all that stack of dishes and all that prep work, you're worn out and you ask yourself, should I have done that or not? But we're having company. And whenever word of company is coming, we've got things to do. There's prep work that has to be done. Do you realize that in your heart, when we sing, let every heart prepare him room, we're getting ready for company. And that's why we celebrate this time of the year. I'm glad. Prep work needs to be done. I hate to tell you this. I believe in Christmas. I love Christmas. I love Christmas. You've always got the spiritual, well, you know, Jesus really wasn't born in December. Really? I didn't ever heard that before. But I'll tell you this, I say it every year. If the world would celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ on August the 3rd, Tuesday, I would wear red, I would sing, I would rejoice, I would celebrate, I would worship and celebrate, because we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. We are having company. Some of you are don't be an old stuck in the mud. Believe in Christmas. Somebody said, you know, when you stop believing in Santa, that's when you start getting underwear for Christmas. Did you know that? And I'm believing as they sing, this Christmas will be a special Christmas for you guys. A blessed Christmas, an anointed Christmas. We're having company. You should be more excited about it. I'm more excited, it appears, right now than you are. My job is to make you to say, let's make merry. We're going to make merry right now. We are rejoicing. Let me say Merry Christmas to you. And let me say the first Christmas guest wants to celebrate Christmas with you. In your house. He's coming to your house. You'll love the gift that he brings. Have you made your list? Have you made your list? You heard the story about the little girl that said, Dear God, I thank you for the baby brother, but what I really prayed for was a puppy. Signed, Patty. But I'm believing the perfect Christmas wish will be for you today. To different people, Christmas means other things, and different to different people, different traditions and families. Of course, the first thing here, we're going to get our family together, but things change, times change, dynamics change. People come and go, and it's a little bit different. And the Christmas, you need to, wherever you're spending it, the real thing is the Christmas guest that he's invited and that he's a part of it right now. But sometimes you have to work and to get everybody together. It's kind of hard now with families all spread out. I heard this. There was an older couple, a man in Oklahoma. He called his son in New York, and here's what he said. I hate to ruin your day, son, but I got to tell you this. Your mother and I are getting a divorce. After 45 years of marriage, I can't take any more misery with this woman. Dad, what are you talking about? The son's yelling through the phone. We can't stand the sight of each other any longer, Dad explained. We're sick of each other. I'm sick of talking about this. So call your sister in Hong Kong. Tell her that we're doing this. So frantically, the son gets on the phone. He calls his sister. His sister explodes on the phone. She said, like heck, they're not getting divorced. I'm going to take care of this. She picked up the phone. She called her elderly father immediately. She screamed at him through the phone. You are not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back. We'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't you do a thing. Do you hear me? And she yelled through the phone and she hung up the phone. The old man hung up the phone and looked to his wife. He said, okay, it's all set. He said, they're both coming for Christmas and they're paying their own airfare, he said. We're having company. Prep work needs to be done. He's coming to your house. What are we celebrating? We're celebrating a great birth. Thousands of times in history, a baby became a king. But only once did a king become a baby. That's our Christmas guest. Our world has always warred against the gift of Christmas. It's always been that case. You know, we see it amplified more so right now in the culture right now. But the gift and the message of Christmas has always been under assault. It's always been under assault. It's always been the target of rage. It seems like more so in 2021, and it is more unrestrained than ever. It's more unrestrained than ever. They're not even ashamed. They don't hide it anymore. The war against it right now, the freedom of expression is even under assault. I saw in the news the other day, one news company had put a Christmas tree out front. And I know all the stories about that, but I'm talking about the colors and the festivities, and I don't worship any of that stuff. But to burn that down and tear it down, if that would have been done to any other religion, it'd have been all over the news. There would have been all kinds of problems, but yet a person was arrested and released in an hour or so later because it really wasn't that important. It was about Christmas, you know. We live in a time where it's crazy right now. CNN, one of their main producers, got arrested yesterday because he was paying money to bring in little girls across state, 9-year-old little girls, so he could train them in his ways. That's not making the news. Not much at all. But we live in a time now where it's okay to say anything we want to say. But don't you fall into the trap of not saying anything because of the culture. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. Don't be detoured. Take heart. Celebrate. It's a happy story. It's a joyful story. Ever how you celebrate. I love to see when you drive down the road and you see things are put up on the street and on the houses, and it's beautiful to look at. In fact, in one of my Wednesday devotionals that are coming up in a couple of days from right now, I'm talking about the lights and seeing the lights and how beautiful the lights are. And he's the light of the world, and we are to be the light of the world. That's an important sound there. But ever how you sell, I love to go in places and see how they've done certain things. I remember we used to go look in the windows of the stores and things like that. And we were taught the balance of it. We understood that. We weren't goofy. We understood what that really was. You go in some towns, though, and the traditions are a little bit different. Story goes that there was a man that lived up north. He was visiting, driving through a small town. He saw there was a nativity scene in the little town square. Presentation was beautiful, a little bit of Americana, he thought. It was beautiful as they created it. But as he looked at it, one small feature bothered him. He saw the three wise men, and the three wise men had fireman helmets on. He was unable to come up with a reason or an explanation. He was a little bit disturbed because he thought it was kind of disrespectful. He stops off at a little cafe on the edge of town as he's driving through. He decided to ask the waitress, and he said, "What's the deal with the wise men?" She said, "We have our famous setup." He said, "What's the deal with the wise men, though, with the helmets on?" She exploded. She just got in his face. She said, "You don't read your Bible, do you? You're not from here. You don't read your Bible, do you?" He said he had read the Bible, but he didn't recall anything about firemen in the Bible being at the manger. She pulled her Bible from behind the counter. She ruffled through the pages, and she stuck her finger at a passage. She said, "Right here." She put it in his face. "You see it right here? It says, 'Three wise men came from afar.'" So ever how you celebrate, whether from afar, a fire, or wherever right now. Do you know, though, I am so surprised that people are offended about people celebrating Christmas. It's always been. The message of the Christmas guest has always offended people. Always. Watch this. You've never heard this read for a Christmas message. In Acts chapter 4, verse 20, Peter and John have been brought on the carpet. They've been threatened because a man was healed, and they had been warned to shut up. And here's what they said in verse 20. "We cannot stop telling about everything we had seen and heard." And the council then threatened them further. Now, what had they done? What had they done? Do you know what they really had done? They told the story of the Christmas guest. They told the story of Jesus, who was the first Christmas guest. They spoke of his word, it said, and miracles happened when they spoke. They threatened them further, but finally they couldn't find enough to punish them without starting a riot. But there's always been a war because everyone was praising God. Who was everyone? Those who believed, those who had prepared, those who were ready for him. It was a miraculous sign. The man had been healed, had been lame for 40 years, but he was healed. So, verse 23, as soon as they're free, Peter and John return to the other believers. Who are the other believers? Their prayer partners. Their prayer partners, those who agreed with them. They returned to the other believers and told them what the priest and the elders had said. And when they heard the report, When they heard the report, today when we hear a report, we go, oh, Lord, and we cower down and we go into retreat. Watch what these boys and girls did. When they heard the report, they lifted their voices together in praise to God. Oh, sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Spirit through your ancestor. No, notice they learned. They learned the connections. They learned how to approach God's throne through your servant David. And said, why are the nations so angry? The nations have always been angry. In the old covenant, they were angry because Satan knew as far back as from the garden that something was going to come forth that was going to take over and be in charge. There was going to be something strong. So it's always been at war with that. Why are they so angry? Why did they waste their time, though, with their futile plans? The kings of this earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against His who? Messiah, the Christmas gift. If we can just stop it before it gets here. In fact, this has happened here in this city from Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, the people of Israel. They were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. Jesus, that gift. Sound familiar? Is that going on today? Does it seem like there's a unity against the Son of God? Does it seem like there's a unity against the Jesus of Nazareth? Everything they did was determined beforehand, though, according to your will. You knew they were going to do it. And now, Lord, I want you to hear their threats. I've prayed this a few times over the last year or so. Lord, hear the threats. Give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word, telling the Christmas story. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders, as you testified to, be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. And after this prayer, the word said, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God. They told the story, how? With boldness. So here we are, we're being confronted today. We're being told you can't preach the story. You can't say the story. You're not even allowed now on social media to have a difference of opinion anymore. Hey, man, I hope everybody has a... You can say what you want to say. Say what you want to say. We have the freedom to do that. Lynn and I sat on the couch and got captivated yesterday watching those boys play that Army-Navy game. Most of those boys will never play professional ball. This is it for them. But there was something, there was a spirit of something that was like... I haven't seen on TV. I'm surprised they didn't preempt it. I'm surprised they allowed the flags to fly. They preempted Lee Greenwood singing God Bless the USA, but that's all right. We've heard it enough. There's a lot going on that day, and I saw these young men yesterday. They looked different. They were different colors. They were different in the stands there, the dignity of those young men standing in that uniform that were serving there, and I'm saying, you know, there's still people. There are still people that aren't afraid. That aren't afraid. And you say, William, how are you mixing that? It's perfect because it gives us the freedom to tell the Christmas message. We're not getting the threat. There was no threatening going on there. And I watched them when it was over, and they fought in the tears of some of them. And all of a sudden, the Navy boys win, and you're hearing in the background, "Anchors away, my boy." You're hearing, I'm feeling something I haven't felt in a long time. I'm proud. I'm watching that, and that is so neat. Then I watch the Army guys. They stand there, and they're weeping. They're singing their alma mater. And then all of a sudden, they explode. The other side explodes, and they explode and singing their alma mater. They're singing that, and the flags are flying and all colors are hugging on and patting each other on the head and I'm looking, that's America. I'm looking at that, and the commentator, who could be jaded at times, would say, there's nothing quite like this tradition. There's nothing quite like it. I'm so glad that I can still do that. I'm still so glad I can do that. But yet we have to say, in 2021, every one of us have been in situations where we have found ourselves editing ourselves. Now, this is not a call for you to be obnoxious. I don't deal with obnoxious people, you know. I'm not good at that. You know, some people say, well, it says we're supposed to be a peculiar people. That means a special people, not weird, all right? You got that? And yet we can, but every one of us have found it. But I pray that you don't be ashamed. You don't have to be crazy about it. You don't have to be in your face about it. But just carry yourself in such a way that shows the dignity, that the word that lives in you. My God, if we could do that, imagine what could happen. Well, what do? I have found myself walking into situations, not knowing the exact number of the passage, but quoting verse 29, the New King James says it this way, Lord, grant your servants boldness. So during Christmas, Lord, grant your servants boldness. That may entail just don't be afraid to celebrate. And that somebody, but don't be afraid to celebrate. We must meet the challenge. In my notes, I wrote these words with equal authority, equal intensity, and equal boldness. But what really gave Peter and John such boldness? It wasn't a Dale Carnegie course. It wasn't learning how to speak, going to a Toastmasters class and learning how to stand up and speak. No, that's not. You know why Peter and John were able to speak with boldness? The guest of honor from the very first Christmas lived in them. The guest of honor of the very first Christmas lived in them. And that was the source of the boldness, because in their flesh, they couldn't do it. Well, how can I do this? One way, don't stop your celebrations. Don't forget the wonder. I've told you for 2 weeks, don't forget the wonder of the seed. Don't forget the wonder of the word. Don't forget the wonder of Christmas. Don't forget the wonder of the story. Don't forget the wonder of the music. Linda's been playing the Christmas music since before Halloween. We've been singing it. We listened to the Gary Vocal Band in the car today singing Heaven and Nature Sing. We're playing these things over and over. Play the music. Let it fill your house. Let it fill your house. Let it fill your house. Yeah, it's amazing that, and they're slowly trying to get it away, but once in a while you can be walking through a store. I was at a filling station the other day, and they had music overhead, and they were playing Christmas music, and I was hearing Joy to the World, the Lord has come, while I was fussing at $3.22 right in front of me right there, and I didn't feel Heaven and Nature Sing right then. I was a little upset, and I said, they've got to hear it. It's getting in. Keep playing the music. Keep playing the songs. I read this line the other day and I wrote it down. Encouraging you as Christians to rejoice. When Christians celebrate the real reason for Christmas, we are testifying to the truth of the gospel. When Christians celebrate Christmas, we are testifying to the truth of the gospel. We are bringing the good news of great joy to all people when we celebrate Christmas. But I'm amazed how some people, even Christians, don't want to celebrate Christmas anymore. Oh, it's commercialized. We understand that. But you can't get your stuff anyway. It's on a boat out in the water. Your presents won't be in until April. But we need the Christmas spirit right now more than the Christmas gifts. The spirit of the guest. The great Broadway lyric. I loved the movement of the song. You've heard, oh yes, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. We used to do those Christmas concerts with the great Larry Dalton, who's playing the Steinway in Heaven today. And we would throw out songs to him. And this is a real intricate little song. And I would throw this out to him all the time. And he would play. And every time I hear that melody there, yes, we need a little, I think of Larry. But can I tell you, we need a little Christmas right this very minute? We need it. We need the spirit of Christmas. Company's coming. Company's coming. Company's coming. You know, that's how the angel announced it. Company's coming. Admittedly, though, let's be honest right now, making merry is hard for a lot of people. One of the reasons people are having a hard time because they're overwhelmed with where the world is today. Some are overwhelmed by intimidation. Some of them are overwhelmed in fear. Some of them are overwhelmed and are suffering even in silence. So many people are suffering in silence in the last year and a half in their minds. The isolation of what they had for that year, and they weren't able to touch someone and see someone and smile at someone. Some of them are in deep depression. Some of them are going through mental torment and mental anguish right now. And they're hearing things that are not like God. And they don't have the ability to discern. They don't have the ability to hear something and say, is this right? Is this the word of God? You know, when you accept the Christmas guest, when the Christmas gift lives in you, you'll have a discernment like Peter and John had right now. It's an awful price the world and America is paying right now for 2 years of demonic, intentional demonic foolishness that's been inflicted. But then on the other side, there are other people because they're going through things and they don't, and they put up a tough humbug front. You know, guys will do that a lot. Oh, there's nothing wrong with me. And it's that is a self-protective action right there. But it comes because of loss. It comes from bad memories of ghost of Christmas past, if you will. It comes from the natural fear. I don't know what to say. I don't know. Well, what if? Then it comes through natural discouragement. Then on the other side, you got those who are just too spiritual. I told you many years ago after I made a Christmas album, it cost me a few dollars to make a nice Christmas album, and it was a good Christmas album, and I was all excited, and I was able to sell it every year. And I remember I went to a church one time after my album came out, my CD, and I got there, and it was in November, and I was getting, and I was setting up my record table, and the person told me in the car, you know, we don't celebrate Christmas in this church anymore. We don't have Christmas. And so we don't really sing these, and we actually have church on Christmas Day. We don't do anything. And I'm thinking, it's his birthday. Evie Hill used to say, don't give me a present. It's not my birthday, he said. And I remember saying to the folk, you know, it cost me a lot to make this CD. I'm singing some Christmas songs. I knew I wasn't going to be invited back, so I figured I'd go out with a blaze of glory. And you'd be amazed at the what happened when you start singing Christmas praise. And we'll talk about that in 2 weeks, that song. I'm going to tell you about that song on that day. Don't be afraid. Some don't want to celebrate because it makes them feel more alone. But during this time, if it's just one of you in a room, it's time to snuggle up close to him, the Christmas guest. It might not be picture perfect in your mind. It may not look like a picture drawn by Norman Rockwell. But there is comfort in this word. Let me give you a comfort in this word. Christmas does not end on December 26th at 12:01. You see that right there? Christmas doesn't end when the tree comes down. I don't know about you guys, but last year our tree stayed up past Mardi Gras. I wouldn't let it come down. There was extra light in the room, and it brought joy. And she kept saying, yeah, but it's at the door, and the neighbors can see. I don't care. They're home looking at their TVs. If they're looking in my window at my tree there, I want to celebrate. We don't really believe he was born on December 20. Let's just celebrate. Let's just do the whole thing. And I said, look, we'll get some purple and gold ornaments, and then we'll get red, white, and blue, and then we'll get orange and brown for Thanksgiving, and then we go right back to... I said, we could do this the whole year. She said, no, they're going to think you're crazy. Christmas is 24/7, 365. Because of the Christmas guest, of what he brought. You may feel, you may have all these other problems in Christmas, you'd rather not go through it. I understand a lot of commotion that happens, but I just want to tell you, the spirit, the comfort, and the gift of Christmas will remain 24/7 if we welcome him in. So, how does this happen? It's always been that way. If you are a worshiper, if you have made him room, even though circumstance of 2021 has been so different, there is comfort in the heart of a worshiper. There's comfort in the heart of one who believes the word. Let me read you another verse you've never heard on a Christmas message. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green pastures. He leads me by peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right path, bringing honor to his name. When you're walking and worshiping and celebrating, you're on the right path, and you are bringing honor to the name of God. I don't care what your detractors say. You are loving and honoring that guest. And even though I might walk through the darkest valley, I'm not going to be afraid. For you are close beside me. I'm alone, or maybe it's not what I think it ought to be. You're close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me. And here's the word we're going to land on. Comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort is a Christmas word. It's a Christmas guest word. God rest ye merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ, our Savior. was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Tidings of comfort and joy. Where'd that come from? It's based on the passage of Luke 2. You'll hear about that next week. But the first time this was published, it was found somewhere in the middle 1700s, about 1764. In fact, they find datings of lyrics to this same tune as far back as the 16th century. In fact, in that day, when it says God rest, actually what that language meant in that day, God keep you, merry gentlemen. God cause you to continue. God cause you to remain in comfort and enjoy because of this first Christmas gift. To remain, when you say, God rest, no. God, let us remain. Let us remain steadfast. Let us remain in the comfort and in the peace. In Bethlehem in Israel, the blessed babe was born and laid within a manger upon this blessed morn, to which his mother Mary did nothing but took in scorn. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort is an enemy of fear, by the way. Fear not. Then said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior of a poor virgin bright, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Your rod and your staff bring me comfort. Your word brings me comfort. This story brings me comfort. These songs bring me comfort. We celebrate the bright lights bring me comfort. Lord, I thank you for that right now. And since the first Christmas guest arrived 2,000 years ago, bringing comfort and joy with him, we should not be afraid to celebrate. Because of that first Christmas, you are never alone wherever you are. You can be by yourself on the other side of a planet in a phone booth, but you're never alone because of the story of comfort and joy right there. There, you are never alone. You are never alone because of the first Christmas guest. Last week I spoke to you, and also during the Wednesday message, I spoke about the purpose of minding your mind, mindfulness of what God has put inside of us. I want to stretch that a little bit further and bring you a little deeper into that concept of mindfulness during this special time. Make it intentional. Celebrate on purpose. I said last week it is an exercise of faith and in focus. Sometimes you got to sing some songs in faith. You got to pray some prayers in faith. You got to. I've been in the middle of some time and telling somebody something, and I step out of my body and I listen to me telling them, and I'm thinking that hadn't worked for you yet, but then I have to go back and say, yeah, but I'm supposed to say this. This is what it says, and if the role was reversed, they'd be telling me the same thing. There is comfort in the message of the Christmas gifts. There is joy in the message of the Christmas gift. There is comfort and joy that comes because of that. So I want to tell you over these next few days, find something, whether it's a devotional, whether it's a song, whether it's a time, and on more than one occasion, not some drive-by, but an intentional focus. It may be just you looking at some lights. It may be whatever. Get close to the Christmas guest. Stay close to the Christmas guest. Be excited that the Christmas guest is coming. Part of the reasons we're going through what we're going through in our world today and the emotions of people today is the distance that has happened. That is distance. We see natural distances that people put up 6 feet or whatever. Saw a picture today in Germany. They're walking with rulers and walking and measuring people right now. That's in Germany right now. I told somebody Germany's mega country today. Make Adolf great again. That's what's going on there. That's just Nazi stuff going on right now. Foolishness right there. Jesus didn't have a problem with the 6 feet when he was touching the lepers and putting his hands on them and praying for them. But distance, and after time, we've been distanced from people. We've been distanced from our jobs. We've been distanced from life, society. We've been distanced from smiles. And distance creates a dearth. That means an absence, a hole. And it also creates discouragement. Distance will do that. How many of you have ever been by yourself and there's a situation and the more you're away from it, the bigger your mind gets about it. And the bigger the torment is there. And you're discouraged because time has passed and the distance and you've not been able to have that. But today I give you the Christmas guest that comes and I'm going to ask you to think in the terms of not distance, but how close can you get to the Christmas guest? You know what closeness does? Closeness creates something very special. It creates comfort. It creates clarity. We see things better. Hey, I'm glad I got to see you, Bob. I'm glad we talked about that. Or I'm glad that I see things a little bit better. Does that make sense to you? How do we keep our testimony, though? How do we keep our minds straight before God? How do we get close to him when there's so much difficulty going around? Do you know that even the people in the scripture dealt with a problem? Do you know God's men dealt with things that they went through? You read John the Baptist. John the Baptist has been the trumpet. He's been the word over and over. And John the Baptist is in jail, and he makes a statement. He says, is he the one, or is there going to be another? A little bit of doubt came into his heart and mind during that time. John the Baptist. Well, you read Paul when he's talking to Timothy. He's talking about a guy that was in the church that was giving him problems. Ever had a church person give you trouble? Yeah, they're good at that. Some of them are professionals right now. He was talking about a guy named Alexander, and he's telling Timothy, he said, Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much harm, and he's still human. How many are glad he's still human? He didn't say, and God bless him. He said, and may the Lord repay him according to his works. I like that. I think there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing, you know, David got ticked off one time. David, the apple of God's eye, he said, Lord, look and behold their threats too, like Peter and John said. He said, I tell you what, make their wives husbandless and their children fatherless. That was his way he said it right there. Well, I haven't gone Old Testament on anybody quite yet, but I might be with Paul a little bit at times. He said, and he's telling Timothy, you must also be aware of this guy. He's greatly resisted our words. He's got a monkey wrench ministry, all right? He's always trying to mess up. He said, and here I was, I preached, and he said, and at my first defense, no one stood with me. Isn't that a tragic? And that is in that is when the fight is on. I felt like I was alone. He said, I felt like everybody had forsaken me. He said, I wrote, or so he thought he was alone at that moment. His human insight is so that you can hold on to that. Have you ever felt like you were standing all alone? God, if you lose me, you've got a mess on your hands right now. Lord, you're about to lose me, and I'm one of your biggest cheerleaders. And God, if you just listen, I could help you, God. I'd make a name for you. No. He said, may it not be charged to them. Notice that he knew he had an antagonistic spirit there, and he still felt a problem with the next line, line three, but on the fourth line, he understood that they were covenant people, and they still had struggles too. Don't charge it to their account. But then, the light and the reminder of the Christmas guest. Verse 17, but the Lord stood with me. The Lord strengthened me. Here's this whole message is to tell you this. May the Lord stand by you. And may the Lord strengthen you. Why? So that you can be a cool dude? No. So that the message might be preached fully through me, that the Gentiles may hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth, and I was also delivered out of the mouth of lion. And because he came and because he lives in me, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. The King James Version says it this way, the Lord stood by me and he strengthened me. Who is? It's the Christmas guest. The one who comforted me and stood by me and strengthened me. How do I know that? I know that because I know the name of the guest. His very name is our Christmas gift. Matthew 1:23, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, and his very name means you are never alone. He's always there. Means God with us. Not just God with us, but God for us, God in us, God around us. Jesus be a fence. The old timers just sing that all the time. This in us thing, it's personal now. It's no longer on a shelf. It's personal. He is in us. He's with us. He's for us. This brings comfort and joy. God with us. I don't know about you, but that sounds like Christmas to me. That sounds like Christmas. You're never alone. How do you know? Because the Old Testament has warned me, even before he came on the scene, that the Christmas gift, he would be with me forever. And they didn't even understand the ramifications. You opened the first chapter of Joshua, who had learned so well under Moses. And I love the line. It says, for the word of the Lord says, I will be with you. I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you. I will not abandon you. Oh, I feel alone during this time. No, if you are a covenant kid, he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And out of that's Old Testament. Jesus himself in Matthew 28 at the close of that book. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And further down, the writer of Hebrews laid on it even further. God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. That is tidings of comfort and joy. So I tell you this morning, let your celebration begin. Don't be ashamed to celebrate. Don't be fearful. Don't be intimidated. Laugh loud. Smile big. Joy to the world. Let the celebration begin. Make some merry in your heart. That's what Mary and Joseph did. Did you know that? And even before Mary, oh, by the way, did you know the scripture says, people talk, we've had a lot of talk about life these last few weeks in the news and the court. Do you know that a fetus was the first to rejoice at the word that Jesus was coming? In the body, boom, there was action, there was motion. There was motion going, oh, that's not a life form. Take that with you. Be comforted with that today. And by the way, you're having company for Christmas. The prep work needs to be done. Well, what do I do? Let every heart prepare him room. It's a comfort and joy kind of Christmas. Our Christmas guest is already at the door. He knocks. If you will open, he will come in and celebrate. Oh, yeah, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Stand. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your blessing. Oh, wow. We love you today. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your word. I thank you for these good people. These good people, they're walking through. Some of them have needs, and they've been praying over and over in certain situations. And the word says never stop. It says pray without ceasing. But they're praying from the viewpoint they know the Christmas guest. They know who he is. I pray that the comfort and joy of the Christmas guest comes and lives in them during this season. That we don't lose sight of why we're doing and what we're doing it for. We rejoice today. Let us walk out and let us be, as Peter and John said, God did this for us so that we would walk out and we would be ambassadors of his word to let people hear and see as we model the word of Christmas that's in us. Let us rejoice. Let us run from the humbug spirits. But let us go, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Father, I bless each one today. I know all these people, but I'm asking you to touch their hearts, to let somebody come to their mind that needs a word next Sunday that is going to be a really, really important word that will speak of Christmas, but it will also speak how they can spend the rest of their Christmases. Father, I thank you today for the comfort and joy that came of Christmas. Let us play the music. Let us roll the windows down. Let us raise the roof. Let us raucous times. Father, this week as we get ready to come next week, I pray for the music guys and the girls that are working together. We're going to be here. We're going to rejoice. We're going to sing. We're going to grin. We're going to rejoice. We're going to go out with a bang this year. We thank you, Lord. So in the meantime, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord grant you peace in your coming and your going this week. And get ready. The Christmas guest is on his way.